Let's have a word of prayer. Father, how we do thank thee for this time that we can have in thy precious word. We thank you for this retreat and the blessing of it. We thank you for each one here today. And as it doesn't happen everywhere, for young people to get together, to worship, to open up the scriptures and to fellowship, Father, we pray, bless this final session as we look at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as it is meant for comfort to our hearts, Father, we pray that you would bring that. May the Holy Spirit seal this to our hearts. It would be very real and precious to each one. Father, we commit it unto thee, and we pray, guide by the Holy Spirit. May the Holy Spirit be our teacher to show us the things of Christ. And we pray in his name. Amen. Now, we're just looking at verses 13 to 18, but to get it in its context, you have Christian living, very specifically sanctification. And in 1 John, regarding the hope, it is a hope that is purifying. Little children, abide in him, that you will not be ashamed before him at his appearing. And he that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he's pure. If you really believe now, this is what we're getting to. I can tell you what my goal is in this message. I want you to believe this. I want to make it real through the Holy Spirit to our hearts. If you really believe that Jesus is coming back, it'll change your life. It will affect you. It will have a purifying effect in sanctification, in Christian living, even as he becomes very practical here. In the light of this coming of the Lord, it does have other effects. It will enable you to endure like a marathon runner. If you know there's a goal in view, there's an ending in this, you'll persevere. That's why it's called patience of hope, perseverance of hope. And so in the Bible, you actually have three words that describe this hope above all else. It is a blessed hope. We've touched on that, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, Titus 2:13. And the thought there is, you won't be disappointed. You might look forward to things in this life and have anticipation, but it might not all pan out just like you anticipated. This will. This will be better. It's a blessed hope. It's a living hope. 1 Peter 1, blessed be God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, unto an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, reserved in heaven for you. And we are kept by the power of God. So it's a living hope because Jesus is living. That is the basis of the whole thing. Jesus is risen and he's the first fruits. And then it's called a sure hope. And it's sure, that's Hebrews chapter 6, because of the immutability of God's counsel. God cannot lie. So whatever you may reason about this or think of the impossibility about this, forget all that. And just take God at his word. You can't understand it all. I was having a counseling session with a young man. He has three master's degrees, and very intelligent man, kind of intimidating. But he had lots of questions as a young Christian about the Bible. And so we went back to the fact that all scripture is inspired by God. And God's wisdom is above our wisdom. So if there seem to be any discrepancies or if we can't quite get it, God's right. We're wrong. Just trust him. And then we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He accepted that because he's a believer. So this is sure because God said it. God can't lie. It's an anchor to your souls. Okay, with that introduction, let's go right into this in chapter 4. How much time do I have, Ben? 45 minutes or? Yeah. This is a passage I've used a lot of times, hundreds of times in funerals and over the years, and at the gravesite, at a dedication, committal service. And it is part of salvation, this truth that we're looking at. Bear with me, a little more introduction. Paul said in 2 Timothy that through the gospel, Christ has brought life and immortality to light. In other words, we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yeah, it's a present possession through the new birth. You have it. You've already passed from death and into life. But what about the body? And our bodies are getting older and they have infirmities. So we need, and the Bible calls it the redemption of the body. And it is true what Pastor Bird was saying. When you're older, you do think about it more. I have to admit that. But you want to think about it when you're younger too, because this is what's in view, this hope in which the Lord is going to give us a resurrection body. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth upon me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And he said, believest thou this? Do you believe this? We believe the other, right? We have eternal life. We even have the down payment of the Holy Spirit. What about the body? Do you believe that God's going to raise it up? Does that seem incredible to you that he would do that? Remember something. God created man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into him the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Genesis 2:7. Now, that was a creative act, wasn't it? And so is it anything incredible that God, whether it be dust or ashes or there's another, what do they call it, the people in the Hiroshima, you know, plasma or whatever they became, God's able to raise that up. And he will do that with the power by which he's able to subdue all things unto himself. And so this is something to be believed. That's the main thing I want to get across. Okay, let's get into this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Paul says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them who are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others who have no hope. Now, I don't have a pointer, do I? What happened? What we have here is hope and death for the Christian. Now, I want to mention the definition of hope, or let me ask you, what do you believe hope means? What can anybody give me a definition of hope in the Bible? Anybody?
Assurance.
That's definitely connected with it.
Looking forward for things to come.
Looking for it, anticipating. Yeah. And it is, biblically, it is faith plus glorious anticipation. In other words, it's not wishing something, you know, I wish that it would get above 32 degrees, but it may not. It's going to be 15 below next week. And but this is believing it, and so you anticipate it. You believe in the promise, and so you anticipate. That's hope, biblically. So it's not something hazy out there. No, it's very sure. Now, when it comes to death for a Christian, that's what we're looking at in the introductory part here. Hope, there's hope and death for the Christian, and we're not to be ignorant concerning them who are asleep. Now, we don't want to be without knowledge about this, is the thought. Death in the Bible means separation. So you probably everybody here, you've had loved ones who've died, you know, you maybe stood there at the casket. What happened? Well, the soul and the spirit separated from the body. It's kind of a sobering thing. It's actually an intrusion to God's original design. As by one man, sin entered into the world, death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned in Adam. So because of Adam's sin, federal head, we all die. As in Adam, all die. But for the Christian, it's called sleep. And it's an interesting thought is that the English word cemetery is derived from a Greek word which means a rest house for strangers, a sleeping place. And the thought being, there's going to be an awakening, right? You awake. My alarm didn't go off this morning. My wife woke up 7:15. So we awaked, and sleep is temporary. Now, please go to Daniel chapter 12 to illustrate. Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. This is talking about the resurrection here, and he uses this terminology. Paul says, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. We won't all die if Christ comes back first, but we'll all be resurrected. In Daniel 12, 2, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Now all men will be resurrected because I mentioned death is an intrusion. All will be resurrected, some unto life, some unto condemnation, John 5. First resurrections unto life. You'll be in the kingdom, and you'll have a body that'll never die. So that this sleep is something temporary. It's physical. It's not spiritual or mental. There's no cessation of consciousness when you die. As a Christian, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Paul said it's far better to depart and to be with Christ. Far better. It's like breaking camp. And in fact, that's what that word depart means. Peter used it. I'm putting off this tabernacle. I'm going to break camp and move on. Jim's going to move on down to Greenville. He's no change in Jim. Well, there's no. When you move on to be with the Lord. You're going to have it'll be a different existence in death. Now we're not talking about the resurrection yet, but when you sleep, your body is what's out of commission temporarily, not your mind, not your spirit, but your body. So he doesn't want us to be ignorant about this concerning those who are asleep. Okay, and then that we sorrow not as others who have no hope. Now we sorrow. If you've ever had someone really close to you that died, that's a rough one, you know. You miss them, right? And even though they're a believer, you sorrow. And Jesus wept, didn't he? Shortest verse in the Bible. He knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, but Jesus wept because he had compassion. So there's a story, some of you know this, where Mark Grings, he's with the Lord now, a missionary to Africa, he went over to Africa with his family as a boy. I think he was like 6 years old. And he had all kinds of trouble. On the way over, the ship sank. So they got in the lifeboats, lit the ship on fire. If nobody sees it, you're dead. You know, this is about a century ago now. And somebody did see it, and they got to Africa, okay? And then his father, Pop Grings, he's called, he preached the word. And he was very faithful at it. And the family served the Lord, Mr. and Mrs. Grings, Sr. And then she died. And it was sad, you know. I mean, you're on a foreign field, probably died of malaria. They call it a white man's graveyard over there. And they had a funeral, of course. They sorrowed. But it wasn't as others who have no hope. They had singing, you know, like we do, rejoicing and face to face. And, oh, that will be glory to me, and so forth. And the natives saw that. And there was five of them who approached the husband, the widower, and they said, "We see you have something. We realize that you don't sorrow about death like we do. We want that." And they trusted the Lord. And all five of those men served the Lord their whole life. So it's like a seed fell into the ground there and bore much fruit. But the point is, there was a testimony. They sorrowed not. They sorrow, but not as others who have no hope. Now, I'll give you some statistics. You can live 70 days without food, believe it or not. 70 days. You can, they say 10, but I saw a lady go 13 days without water. And you can go 6 minutes without air. You might not be in good shape after that. But you can't live at all without hope. Now you think about it, no hope at all. You're in despair. You have no hope. So we sorrow not as others who have no hope. Those who don't have Christ are without God, and they are without hope, and many of them are in despair. And it's a sorrowful thing, isn't it? It's a sorrowful existence, and it's especially sorrowful when it comes to death, because they have no hope. So we want to know the true nature, understand the true nature here of death for a Christian. We sorrow, but there's a silver lining on that cloud now, and we want to look at that. You know, there are three main aspects of the Christian life. Who can tell me what they are? I'll give you a hint. One's an upward look, one's an outward look, and one's a forward look. Faith, love, and hope, right? And so we need this. This is a primary. This is one of the primary, like you have primary colors, you know. This is a primary thing, this issue of hope. This isn't secondary here. So, okay, now he goes into the premise or the basis of our hope. There's a reason for this. This isn't just wishful thinking, you know. This isn't some pie in the sky thing. No. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, now that's the first point. The second is, this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. So the first point is, Jesus Christ died and rose again. That's the gospel, right? We believe that. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That is the gospel by definition, 1 Corinthians 15. That's what you must believe to be saved. If you don't believe that, you're not saved. And so, if we believe that, even so, I don't have everything up on the board there, that them also who sleep, there's that word again, in Jesus will God bring with him. Now, even so, let's connect it, 1 Corinthians 15:20. Okay, Jesus died, he rose again. Christians die, they're going to rise again. Well, he died a unique death, substitutionary death. Only he could have done that to take away our sins, and we believe that in salvation. But notice this, 1 Corinthians 15:20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. Now you know that the concept goes back to the Old Testament. But think of this in a practical sense. If you have a field, we have an 80-acre field behind us. It's not ours, but we enjoy looking at it. And they grow soybeans and then corn. Well, once you see a blade pop up, you know there's going to be a whole field full of them. Well, Jesus has risen. That's the token. There's going to be many more who are risen to immortality. By the way, he's the only one who's risen to immortality, that being a body that'll never die. And it's described later in this chapter, incorruptible, powerful, glorious body that is suitable for heaven. Like unto Jesus' glorious body. And so, he's the first fruits. So that's the first point we want to see. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, do you believe that? You know, we're not talking about just a story of something a couple thousand years ago. Jesus is living. And you must believe that, right? In order to be saved. It's not a dead Savior who can save you. So, that's the first point. That's very important. And then the second point is, this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. What do we have to go by? Has anybody here seen Christ? Don't raise your hand. And have you seen heaven? You know, no. People claim it and they haven't. And but we have the word of the Lord. You know what Peter said about that? He said, we have a more sure word of testimony that you do well to take heed unto as a light that shines in a dark place. More sure than an eyewitness account. If you look at the context there in 2 Peter 1, and he was an eyewitness. He saw Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. Face became brighter than the sun. His raiment was glistening white. Bright cloud overhead. This is my beloved son. Hear ye him. But he said, we have a more sure word of prophecy. That's the way he put it. We have. And we have the scriptures. He goes on to say that. So we have something very sure. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Meaning it's God breathed. God has spoken. God cannot lie. Some things God can't do. He can't sin. He cannot lie. And so you don't have to worry reasoning. How can this be? Don't worry about that. There's a whole lot of things you and I cannot comprehend, but we can believe it, right? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. It is impossible that this would not happen because it's in the book. That's the infallibility of the scriptures. In other words, nothing can stop the fulfillment of it. It's inerrant. There's no error, but it's infallible. He will accomplish what he has said. And I think it was Pastor Bert brought out, well, however you feel about it, in reality, it doesn't make a lot of difference. I mean, it does for your own consolation, but this will be fulfilled. So this is based on Jesus dying and rising again, and then Jesus and the Word of God that's been given to us. Now let's read on in the context. That we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them who are asleep. Now, let's come to our next point. Let's see, there we go. Now we've seen the premise of our hope. We're looking at the person of our hope and the promise of our hope. Now, this only means something to you if you know the Lord, right? You trust Him, you love Him, and you want to be with Him someday. And then it means more and more to you if you're growing in the Lord and you're close to the Lord, if you know what it is to really pray in an intimate way. You know what it is to depend upon the Lord. You know the faithfulness of the Lord. You know the goodness, the mercy of the Lord. And the more we know about the Lord, the more precious and real this is to our hearts. So we're looking at the person of our hope. So I'm looking at this, picking out from the context the phrases, the coming of the Lord Himself shall descend to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And so, now, I trust you've had times of intimate communion with the Lord as a Christian. And that's the highest we can have on this earth, isn't it? Where we worship Him. We praise Him. We thank Him. We do want Him to become our all in all, don't we? Where our hearts are so set on Him, our minds are set on Him, and we're setting our affection upon things above where Christ is at the right hand of God. That needs to be a reality, brethren, where we're close to the Lord. How much do we know Him in that way? How much do we love the Lord? It does come down to that. What's our relationship with God like? Just for an example, Enoch would be a type in the Old Testament of this subject, the rapture. And what can you tell me? What was unique about Enoch? He's in the book of faith, Hebrews 11. He never died, right? But what else about him? He lived 300 years. Or was it 365 years? Pardon me? He walked with God, and he had this testimony that he pleased God. He walked with God. That's a wonderful phrase. Noah walked with God, it says. Abraham was a friend of God. And so, here's another one in the Bible, Job. Now, maybe you wouldn't readily think of Job. It's amazing how much those Old Testament saints knew. You know what Job said, really, in the height of his suffering? He said, I know that my Redeemer lives, and though worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. That's faith, isn't it? He was in misery physically. He thought for sure he's going to die. But he said, I know that my Redeemer lives. And though I die, basically what he's saying, worms eat this body. It's what happens, you know. You go into the dust, worms eat your body. Yet in my flesh shall I see God. You believe it? I know my Redeemer liveth. Now that's the key. You remember Jesus when he said, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again, receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's a blessing of heaven. If you know the Lord, if you really know the Lord, you're going to want to be with the Lord. You want to see Him. There's a lot of good hymns on it. Face to face with Christ, my Savior. Oh, that will be glory for me. How's that go? When by His grace I shall look on His face. Or there's another. One glimpse of Him in glory will all the toils of life repay. And so, to be with the Lord, that'll be everything. There's a missionary book. I think the name of it is John and Betty Stamm. And they were martyred in China. And some got out, you know, when the communists came in after World War II, and some didn't. And so they made a kind of a example of them, I suppose. And they had a little baby, too. They wrapped the little baby up on the bed. And the communists took him away to a public place. And they beheaded him. Him first and then her. Now, what do you think their view of that was? They're believers now. It'd be difficult. They had hope, didn't they? They believed, you know, they're going to be resurrected. They were going to be with the Lord instantly, and someday they'd be resurrected. They prayed for that little baby, whom they left alone there on that bed. And some Christian person of China took that baby and transported him, and that person grew up and became a missionary. That really happened. And John and Betty Stamm, it's a good book. And so you got to have hope, don't you? Job, he talks about, I may not quote this exactly right, but he said, even a tree has hope. You cut a tree down, you ever seen that? And a little sprout may come up, a shoot, and it begins to grow again into another tree. Well, you and I need to have hope, don't we? But there's the person of our hope. Now, this is the most glorious thing about it. He himself is going to come back. Let's look at the passages here. Notice, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Now, this is Jesus, not the meek and lowly Jesus. I mean, he is the same one. But this is the glorified Jesus. This is the one whose face is brighter than the sun. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Now, that's his shout. Because in John 5, it says, all that are in the graves will hear his voice. Lazarus, come forth. What happened? He came hobbling out of there, didn't he? And loose him. He'd been dead 4 days. And so all that are in the graves will hear his voice. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. This is very literal. And the voice of the archangel. Now that's another voice, apparently. That's Michael. And you have that in Daniel 12 also. With the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So, Jesus, when he comes back, we're going to hear his voice. Now, I'm going to get to the promise a little later. I'm categorizing this. Okay? Now, so the Lord is coming, the coming of the Lord. The Lord himself should descend to, and then we'll meet the Lord in the air. Now, this is a private meeting. This is not Jesus coming in power and great glory, Matthew 25, 31, to establish his kingdom when he judges the nations coming against Jerusalem, Armageddon. That's a glorious time, too. That's another thing. Regardless whether the world believes it or not, they're going to find out who he is. And there'll be no denying who he is when he comes back in power and great glory. And that's a public appearing. It says every eye will see him and those who've pierced him. I had a table here. I was going to bring it up, but time got ahead of me in a diagram to show you the time table on this, where we're in the dispensation of grace, aren't we? And it's an imminent hope. We don't know what time this is going to be, but we know at any time Jesus could come back and he's going to take us up. And we'll see that. That word caught up is a transliteration. The rapture is a transliteration of that. And then there's going to be the tribulation. Well, Daniel's 70th week, 7 years on the earth. And the latter half is the Great Tribulation, 3.5 years. The Antichrist will rule. You're familiar with all that. And then it's the worst time the world's ever seen. It's judgment time. It's part of the day of the Lord. We'll be in heaven. Revelation 19 will be a marriage ceremony in heaven. So it'll be quite glorious. And then at the end of that tribulation time, Christ comes back with all the holy angels. We'll be with him. And he'll smite the beast with a sharp two-edged sword, and he'll vanquish the army that's coming against Jerusalem. They'll have the audacity to fight against him, and then he'll establish his kingdom. Now, so you know you have two aspects to his second coming. There's coming for his saints, there's coming with his saints. We're looking at coming for his saints. And he doesn't say, now, brethren, brace yourselves because we're going through the tribulation time. No. He says, we look for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, look for him who'll change our lowly bodies like unto his glorious body. Comfort one another with these words. And later, we've not been appointed unto wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's all very positive. Even though there's a rumbling before the storm and things are going to get worse, you know, before this event takes place, this is the next event that will take place. This is what we're talking about. We're going to meet the Lord in the air. At the rapture, that's only the church, the body of Christ. And then, notice, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, isn't that the best part of the whole thing? You know, there's some other blessed things. He's preparing a place. It's called paradise. We ourselves will be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And we'll have no pain, no sorrow, no suffering, no death. It's all good. But this is the best. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And isn't your best times in life now as a Christian when you're close to the Lord, close in prayer, close in worship, the word's precious to you? Well, what will it be like in heaven? Perfect worship, perfect praise, perfect adoration. So that'll be forever. So that's the person of our hope. And then let's look at the promise. The promise of our hope that goes with it. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, we talked about those loved ones. You know, the Thessalonians probably, because of the intense persecution, had loved ones martyred. I'm conjecturing, but it's probably so. And in this life, we lose loved ones, don't we, in the Lord. There's some people that I'm looking forward to seeing. I remember Pastor Galt, and he was a precious man of God. I have some other friends, Pastor Oz Paul, and some other elderly people I ministered to for years that are with the Lord. Heaven gets sweeter, you know, as time goes on, because you know more that are on the other side, and you know they're there. And so the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those people who've gone on before, they'll be risen first, okay? And then we who are alive shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Now, again, that phrase caught up is, if you do transliteration of the Greek word, it is rapture. That's where we get the word rapture, caught up. And caught up together with them. Now, what does that entail? That does entail resurrection, most definitely, but also a reunion. It implies that, does it not? Now let's talk a little bit first about the resurrection in these bodies. Okay, they're limited. And when you're young, you think you're immortal. You don't think about it. And but it'll come. The infirmities are going to come to you. And when they do, don't worry about that too much. I use this in ministering to people in the nursing home. God's going to give us a new body someday. And we want to do the best we can with these, right? Be good stewards of these bodies. But the fact is, we have a resurrection body. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3 in verse 20. I heard a story about a woman that lost her husband, and she just stayed out of the grave. And I mean, day after day after day, she's out there at the grave. And the pastor was concerned. He went out to her and he talked to her. He said, why are you doing this? You know, he's with the Lord. He's a Christian. She said, well, I love him and I love that body. I mean, you're connected, aren't you? Your soul, spirit, and body. And I miss him, and his body's in the grave there. And he said, that body's going to be risen. And she got it. And that body, he's not here, you know, his soul and spirit are with God, but that body, the same body, is going to be risen. And look in Philippians 3:20, for our citizenship, best rendering, is in heaven. If you're born from above, you have a citizenship in heaven, from which also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile, lowly body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So he's going to change our lowly body. And now it's the same body. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15. Maybe we'll turn to that. Now here he says it'll be like Jesus' body. What was Jesus' body like? Remember, the disciples were in the upper room, and the doors are shut, and all of a sudden Jesus is in the middle of them. Peace, be still. And they thought they saw a spirit. And he said, fear not, a spirit has not flesh and bones as you see me have. Behold my hands and my feet. And I tell you, it was the same body that hung on a cross. But it was changed, right? And it wasn't limited. by physical barriers. Don't ask, we can't understand this now, but this is the Bible. And so God can do this. He will do this. It won't be limited. And let's go to 1 Corinthians, where we have a description. Now, remember, Jesus could eat. Probably didn't have to eat, but he says, is there any fish here? And some honeycomb. And so a real body. 1 Corinthians 15:51 says, behold, I show you mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. We shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is going to happen. And we don't know when it's going to happen. But if it happens while we're still living, we won't die. We look for that, right? I don't have my cemetery plot yet. I'm holding out for this one. And it'll solve all your problems, by the way. You know that? And you won't be disappointed. Again, this is a blessed hope. This glorious appearing of Jesus Christ, where he's going to change these bodies. And let's go back, if you will, to 1 Corinthians 15:42. He says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown, now he's comparing a seed that goes in the ground, and then it bears fruit. It is, a Christian's body dies. It dies in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, now that literally in the Greek a soulish body. It is raised a spiritual body. There's a natural body, there's a spiritual body. Now don't misunderstand that. That doesn't mean that it won't be a flesh and bone body like Jesus. We know that it will be. But this body's connected with a soul, right? Well, you're hungry? Don't think about that. You're soon going to eat, Jacob. And he's the first one that smiled. And so, and we like it, don't we? I like working in my garden, working in the dust, and seeing things grow. We're kind of bound to the earth, aren't we? We came from it. But we're going to have a body that's connected to the Spirit. The Spirit is a God-conscious part of us. And we are spiritually made alive, right, with a new birth. And so, can't go beyond that in explanation, but I'm giving you what the Bible says. So it'll be different, but it'll be real, and it'll be glorious, and it'll be a resurrection body, glorious body, perfect, suitable for heaven. We'll be able to see God in all his glory. We'd die if we saw him in our mortal state. And then we'll be caught up together with them. There will be a reunion. You won't have, you know, it's like the joke of the wall in heaven, and somebody says, well, what's on the other side of the wall? I won't mention any particular group, but they said, quiet. They think they're the only ones up here. And in other words, there will be every person who believes in Jesus Christ, who's truly born of God, they're going to be in heaven. There won't be any division, schisms, nothing. It'll be perfect unity. We'll all have perfect doctrinal understanding, by the way. None of us have perfect doctrinal understanding now, but we try to get close as we can, right? But we will then, and we'll see him as he is. We'll be as he is. So it's a tremendous thing. We're so earthbound, aren't we? It's just like in Pilgrim's Progress, in the House of the Interpreter, there's the story of the muckrake, where the man, he's got a rake, and he's raking in the garbage that's in the dirt. And there's this angel holding a crown over his head, but he doesn't see it because he's got the muck rake. And he's looking down. We look down too much, don't we? We're not looking forward enough. We're not looking forward to what God has in the future. If we do, it will greatly affect us. That's why this is so important. And so we'll be caught up together with them. Now, what's the application that he makes here? Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. In other words, okay, if you die or a loved one dies, no worry, the Christian, death is for us, to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. And we're awaiting a resurrection. And so it'll be glorious. The Lord's going to complete it. It's a package deal, isn't it? This thing of salvation. He gives not just life, but immortality. He saves you body, soul, and spirit. And so there's a comfort, a wonderful comfort. It's meant for that. But don't let your heart be troubled. And you believe. That's the key, isn't it? You believe in God. Believe also in me. Believe what God says. It will bring you great comfort. So, we want to know the true nature of death, don't we? It's just sleep. It's just temporary. And we have hope in it. We have a blessed hope, living hope, a sure hope. We can live with anticipation. And now, how can you come to this? I don't know how this, how's this thing work, Ben? Can I get it back? Uh-oh. I don't have my usual pointer. Okay. We go back to the first one. This is really the most important part of this. You've got to get the premise of our hope, the basis of our hope. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, now this is the end of our retreat. It's kind of a mini conference, isn't it? We'd like to go longer. But you wouldn't want to go home without believing, would you? You don't want to miss heaven. That's what we're talking about. You don't want to miss everlasting life in the presence of God. These things are real. And so, believe, trust, put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, who loves you, who died for your sins and rose again. That's the foundation of it all. You've got to have that. So if you're not sure about that, I'd be happy to talk to you. But you want that one settled. And then, well, how do you know? How do you know that this is so, though, about this hope? God said it. This is by the word of the Lord. So you don't fall into skepticism. How can this be? No, God said it. He the veracity of God is at stake here. He's truthful. All scripture is inspired by God. And his word cannot be broken. That's impossible that he would fail in this thing. And he has the power to fulfill what he says. That's the infallibility of his word. So Jesus personally is going to come. Jesus is going to raise us up. And we're going to be with the Lord. Now I want to give something else that might help. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. You know, if you truly believe, God gives you what? Or I should say, God gives you who? The Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's assurance, right? And these things are written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Okay, you got the Word as a basis of assurance. But we also have the witness in ourselves, right? And that's the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:13. Now this is connected with our hope. 1:13. In whom ye also trusted in Christ, verse 12. After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now that's a permanent transaction. You're sealed. Notice this. Who is the earnest of our inheritance? Now an earnest is a down payment. Nathan bought a house. He's excited about his house. They had all the furniture and everything in that house. and God provided for him. But he had to show he was in earnest. He had to show he was genuine now about purchasing this house. Well, God has done that for us in his grace. He's given us the Holy Spirit. The earnest of our inheritance is the Holy Spirit. Until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. What is that? That's your body. The redemption of the body. Ephesians 4:30 says you're sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. That's why, personally, I don't believe in cremation. I don't make an issue of it for funerals, but your body sealed with the Holy Spirit until the resurrection. And just a little food for thought for you. But here you have the purchased possession. The body is going to be raised up. How do you know? Well, God said it. Well, how else do you know? You have the Holy Spirit. You've got the down payment. And so the Holy Spirit can assure you. Nathan, he's really living in his house. He believes it's his. although there, we've had some questions about that, if it was a right house with all the furniture in it. But he bought it, okay? You're bought, you're purchased, the down payment's there. And God lives in you, right? He's going to fulfill the rest of the deal because God is true. Believe it. That's the main thing I want to get across, because that's what will bring the comfort. And we have a glorious future, brethren. We have something to look forward to. God wouldn't reveal these things to us if he didn't want us to lay hold of it by faith. And then you focus on this. Now, this is something else that will bring the comfort I'd like to share. Please go to 2 Corinthians 4. Again, you can... Oh, Pastor Hickson talked about idols, okay? People think whatever you think about, you know, that's your idol. Well, this will free you from idolatry. If you can get occupied with Christ and think about you're going to be with him. Think about, did you know that at the time of the Blessed Hope, by the way, did you know that's the time of giving of account? That's the Bema Seat. That's when we're going to come before him. And what do you want that to be? Don't you want it to be this? Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. You see, that day, Paul talks about that so much, that day is the all-important day when Jesus comes back and we'll stand before him. Everything else fades into something that doesn't matter. And so this is the one we want to focus on and live for. In 2 Corinthians 4:14, Paul says, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, shall present us with you. Now, keep that in mind. Resurrection, I'm going to skip for time. Verse 16, for which cause, because of the resurrection, we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. While we look, now that doesn't mean you go up on a hill, you're going to look out. Actually, there are Christians that have done that. They thought, it's going to be now. I'm going to quit my job and I'm going out and I'm going to wait for him to come back. No, don't do that. And in fact, he tells you right in that same chapter that do your own business and you want to be responsible. But even while you're living down here, look, in your mind's eye, you're anticipating, you're realizing he's going to come back. I'm going to be with him. And all the labors and trials will be o'er. And I'm going to enjoy the Lord forevermore. And you won't be disappointed. And he'll wipe away every tear. And he's going to receive you unto himself. I mentioned earlier Pastor Galt Sr. That's Paul Galt's father. And his wife, she was a godly Christian. She said, I just wish the Lord would come back. And then she said, I wish he'd come back for me. And he did. A couple weeks later, I've heard that about 3 or 4 times in my ministry where a person says, oh, I'd so like to be with the Lord. And then shortly they are. Do you want to be with the Lord? And we want to live, don't we? But whether it's the, how's it go, uppertaker or the undertaker, it really doesn't matter. When you're a Christian, you're going to be with him. And there will be a resurrection either way. And so we have a glorious future. If we believe Jesus died and rose again, even so. Let's pray. Father, how we thank thee for this glorious hope that we have, a future that we have, very sure, resting in thy promise and resting in Christ, the first fruits who died and rose again. And we cling to this, Father. We put all our eggs in this basket. We look forward to what's coming. And what you're going to do. We know you, those that trust in thee will never be ashamed. And that these things will come to pass will be far more glorious than any words could describe. We pray blessed to our hearts and may it be more real to each one. We pray bless each one. We thank you for this time together this weekend. We thank you for each one here and your work of grace in hearts. And we ask for blessing too for the traveling and we pray, may we have a closer walk with thee. May this hope be more precious to us as a result. In Jesus' name, amen.